From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the seventh day of February 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Did you read the Wall Street Journal article yesterday on NAST? Joe Persaki did. He's at USDA and will be on the phone line this afternoon with us to discuss the grain stocks reports and NAST's numbers, how they impact the marketplace. As we make our way through the program this afternoon, we'll take up the agricultural energies with Harry Cooney. He's at GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll close out, as always, by looking at the weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished a bit lower in the wheat pit nearby March contract at $6.62 and a quarter, down 6 and a quarter cents. May futures at $6.72 and a quarter, down 7 and a half, and July wheat $6.84 and three quarters, 7 and a quarter cents lower from the July hard red winter wheat in Kansas City. A settlement price at $7.26 and a quarter, down 6 and three quarters. Corn pit now March contract $6.42 and a quarter, down 2. May at $6.48 and a half, 2 and three quarters lower. July corn $6.52 and a half, down 3 and three quarters, and September at $5.98 and a half, down 6 and three quarters. December corn $5.75 and a quarter, down 6 for the day. Next year's March at $5.86 and three quarters, down 6 and a quarter. March soybeans at $12.32, down a penny. The May at $12.41, down 1. July beans $12.50 and three quarters, down 1. And the August $12.49 and a half lower. September up 1 cent at $12.43 and a half in the bean pit. And the November contract for the soybeans at $12.41 and a quarter. The harvest month, new crop up 2 and a quarter. Bean meal at $3.25.40, down 2.10. Bean oil at $52.17. That's up 1. Live cattle futures finished the April at $128.57 and a half, $1.07 and a half higher. June at $129.95, up 72 and a half cents. March feeders at $155, up 87 and a half, and April contract at $157.10. That's 55 cents higher. Lean hogs April futures $89.10, up 55 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the March contract $98.50 a barrel, up $1.60. Ethanol at $2.21 and a tenth of a cent, the penny and 8 tenths higher. Natural gas 6 and 6 tenths lower at $2.48 and a half, and the heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.19 and four tenths. That's up 2 and 4 tenths of a cent. Gold futures on the day at $1,746.40 an ounce, up $23.60, and the dollar at $78.59. down 0.47. The CRB index for the day at 315 is 0.8 higher. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Yet this afternoon, cloudy skies, a high of 39 degrees with a north-northeast wind at about 11 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, a slight chance of rain. A bit of snow, that'll happen before midnight, then a chance of snow throughout the evening hours and into the morning. Cloudy, a low of 26. North-northeast winds this evening at 9 to 11, gusting as high as 15. Chance of precipitation, not too great, just at 30%. Wednesday, cloudy, gradually becoming sunny with a high of 35 degrees with a north-northwest wind at 8 to 10 miles an hour. Wednesday night, mostly clear, a low of 22. West-northwest winds at 8 miles an hour. And Thursday, sunny skies, a high of 37 degrees. With a west wind at 8 miles an hour, gusting to 16 on the afternoon. Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 25. Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 36. Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 18. On Saturday, mostly sunny skies, the high 29 degrees. And then Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 18. Sunday, sunny skies and 33. Sunday night, clear and 22. And by the time we get to the beginning of the next work week on Monday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 35 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, yesterday, Greece was back in the marketplace, and then today we're a bit lower. What happened?
Well, you know, as we looked at things today, if you were to watch the outside markets, Todd, you wouldn't have thought we'd see red on the screen. You know, crude up $1.76, the dollar down 55 cents, the Dow Jones up 54, and gold up $23. All those should be positive outside indicators, but yet we're seeming to see a little bit of positioning ahead of the reports. It was the fifth day that corn was over the 100-day moving average, and we saw a lack of upside follow-through. And that's caused some disenchanted bulls to take some profits here today in the corn market coming into Thursday's report numbers.
Well, what do you think about that report number? What will it look like?
Well, I think that we're looking for them to make some somewhat drastic cuts as far as South America is concerned. We're looking for the corn number. They had terrible weather during pollination down there as far as the corn, and even Dr. Cordner seems to be wanting to lower the Argentine soybean estimate. He went down to 47 million metric tons, and that's down 2 million metric tons from his previous estimate, and he's probably one of the best people around on predicting what's really going to happen down there. So we do look for him to cut that. We do look for him to probably up the exports a little bit on the corn, because we've seen a little better corn exports over the last few weeks. And what they do with the bean exports and how they're figuring here is going to be the big question mark.
How's the basis holding up? What are you telling farmers about the cash grain trade?
Well, the basis level, the basis dropped a little bit yesterday as far as the Gulf or the barges going to the Gulf went, and today it sort of picked back up what it lost there. We seem to be seeing a little bit of business and a little bit of demand that way. Very, very, very tight farmer holding now, both corn and beans for right now. But, the ethanol margins are not so great right now, so we don't know if the ethanol plants will be staying at their 100% like they've been doing over the last 2 months.
Yeah, and Keith, the ethanol margins are something that had been talked about. What do you suppose producers can take from that discussion?
Well, I think that, we kept trying to say maybe the USDA should put some more bushels into using for corn for ethanol along the way. And I think that basically, unless we see the sugar prices stay high and Brazil would continue to import ethanol from the U.S., that we probably won't be needing quite as much corn for ethanol as some of them had tried to pencil in early.
So turn your attention to the bean market then. What do producers think about this marketplace and whether they ought to be marketing new crop soybeans?
The farmers are very, very tight holders. They're looking and thinking that we're going to see another rally down the road here somewhere. We're looking at the ideas that 1250 to 1260 on up, that maybe a few more sales should be made, definitely if they get towards $13. But we're liking to have just a little bit of coverage on both corn and beans going into the report on Thursday, because we just can't say for sure. The last few government reports have been not what we've been looking for.
Hey, can you stay with me for just a second? I'm working on getting Joe Brusacki at NASS on the phone line, and he's in a meeting, I think, so we'll see what's happening. But can you take me through some of the process, Wayne, of what producers should be figuring for crop insurance as we head through the month of February? And then, of course, they'll have to make that decision by the 15th of March.
Right. Of course, the numbers are the February average of November beans and December corn is what the number they can be insuring. There's going to be a new add in this year that's going to help you if you have 4 years that your adjusted yield can go up a little bit and actually increase your APH, and is going to help you out that way. So, I mean, along the way, I think, we're going to be looking here. The November beans were in the 1241, not today's close. Basically along the way, the 1250 like that. That's going to be under last year's. We're about a dollar under last year as far as the beans go, Todd. The corn, we were 603 last year, and we're at 575 today. So we're probably about 25 cents under on the corn. But as how we're figuring things out as far as profitability right now, it does seem more profitable to raise corn if you have a good yield on your farm.
Now, do you suppose that producers can take a look at those numbers? It's profitable, but will they be able to lock in, like last year, a profit for the year just on the crop insurance products, do you suppose?
Well, you know, we're going to have to wait and see how it ends up, but not as easily as last year for two reasons. Number one, in general, cash rents went up,
right.
Fertilizer prices went up, and we know seed corn prices are steady to higher. So all of those things considered, it's not going to be as easy with lower prices that we're locking in already to begin with. So now the one thing, you know, with the yield boost kicker there, why we might be able to lock in a little better, but the profitability level isn't going to be totally insured just on the insurance levels this year.
Anything else we had to add before I let you go for the day?
No, we'll be looking forward to the numbers on Thursday, and you know, we do think that if farmers have sold no new crop, that either an option of some sort might be a good idea.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Hopefully we'll have Joe Persaki on the phone line in not too much time. I'm going to check back with him in just a moment. In the mean space, if you want to dial this number, you probably ought to. I did not check, but I'm going to guess that there are still some of the tickets left. There were about 40 yesterday afternoon for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. That's scheduled for the first Tuesday of the month of March, not too far away now, the sixth day, over at the Beef House. It's $25. If you haven't dialed in for pre-registration, do so now at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. And get your tickets for our all-day Ag Outlook meeting.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to dial in at 217-333-7300 for our all-day Ag Outlook. Pick up your pre-registered ticket right now at 217-333-7300. Let's check and see. I'm not sure whether or not we have Joe Persaki from NASS on the phone line. Oh, Joe, are you there? I'm going to say no, so we're going to not worry about that for the moment. We'll leave him on hold and bring up instead for the afternoon Harry Cooney, who is with us from GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Thanks, Harry, for being along for the day. Let's take a look at what's been happening in the world of the agricultural energies. What do you find at this point, Harry? Oh, you know what? I've got Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Oh, how are you?
I'm sorry.
I've got two phone lines going at the same time, and I just pulled up the wrong one. Harry's on the other line. Harry, I'll be with you in a second. Joe Persaki, you were in a meeting, my son. How you doing for the day?
Oh, pretty good. I'm sorry. I tried to be here as soon as I came. I got kind of intercepted on the way.
Oh, you know that? That's okay, Joe, because you are here. So yesterday, the Wall Street Journal wrote a little article that you were in. They took a look at the grain stocks report. Not much. They just basically said producers, the industry wasn't very happy with that number, and they really didn't say the grain stocks report. They just said USDA numbers. So what'd you make of it, and what happened with you today there in Washington, D.C.?
Well, the thing that's kind of interesting is, you know, because there's always been this discussion this all season, you know, coming out of 10 and during 11 about, USDA stocks levels and that sort of thing and crop production. And basically my slant is on this, I stand by our procedures. That's all I can do. I can stand by the procedures. I thank all the producers that take the time to fill out the reports because they provide us the best information. And we move forward from that. I've got a lot of, positives, comments saying, that they appreciate, us and us going out and talking to the farmers, and be willing to, explain our position and such.
Okay, so take me through a couple of things so that we understand this. The grain stocks report is related to the WASDE numbers and the ending stocks report in what way?
Okay, well, during the year, you think about it, like say for corn, the ending stocks report is the September 1 grain stocks. And so during the whole season, the whole crop year, the Wool Board and the WASDE, in the WASDE report and the supply and demand, they are trying to estimate what that ending stocks number will be at the end based on usage and that sort of thing going through the season. When we come around, when NAS comes around and we do our September survey, we'll interview farmers for on-farm stocks, and we interview grain elevators, processors, millers, ethanol plants to get the off-farm piece. And that's what we get, how much is grain is left over from the previous year's crop at that time. And then during the year, then we'll do like December 1, this is the stocks as of December 1, corn, beans, wheat, and such, December 1, March 1, June 1, and then the World Board uses those intervening stocks reports to adjust what's going on with their usage. You have to remember, they're making estimates based on, the way things are going through based on exports, ethanol grind, and those sort of things.
But the WASDE numbers and the grain stocks numbers are produced by two different sets of statisticians.
Two different organizations. That is true. Right.
And so they take your numbers, the grain stocks figures, and then they put them back into the World Agricultural Supply and Demand estimates?
That's right, because they'll take the NAS production and they'll take the ending stocks from NAS. That becomes, then what is the supply then for the current year that they're trying to forecast, and what will ending stocks will be then at the end.
And then at the end of the year, that number has to balance. Is that
exactly
right? Does it have to balance all year long or just in that last
just
one?
Just at the end. That's why I said during the season they are making estimates as they go along what those ending stocks will be.
So by balance we mean that usage plus what's left over has to equal last year's crop plus what was carried in from the previous year.
Exactly. What the ending stocks are, at this end. Like in this example, say corn 2000, in September, first part of September 2011, the World Board was around 920 for their projected ending stocks. NAS, we did our survey work. 72% of the corn was on the off-farm side of things. And we ended up with the ending stocks being about 1.1225, something like that, in that neighborhood of the ending stocks, which was higher than what the industry of trade was expecting.
Right. And then in this last one, what did those numbers look like?
Well, you have to remember now then what the World Board doing, they're forecasting then what the ending stocks will be at the end of next year.
Right.
And so then the beginning stocks that we collected for December 1, that is used to gauge, okay, how much do we have to begin with as
mm-hmm.
well? And so there was some difference in expectations going on there, probably in the tune of what folks on the outside world were thinking, maybe 200 to 300 million bushels more than what was reported with our survey work and what we published.
Right. So there was a large difference.
Yeah.
They were less than
what we published from USD NAS. Yeah.
Yeah. So your number was about 200 bushels.
Yeah, 200 million
bushels.
Yeah,
higher.
I think it was about 200 million right in that neighborhood.
Right.
A little bit over 200 million bushels.
But your number wasn't all that much different. Number.
Not really. I mean, in percentage wise, not so much, but you have to remember, in the outside world looking in, I mean, things are very tight when it comes to corn supplies. And so any little bit of information that deviates from expectations, it's going to cause some sort of change, some sort of reaction, be it, with, markets or be it with, what the supply or not supply, but the usage figures may be.
What's the variability in that first quarterly, in that first grain stocks report of the year? How close is it usually? What's the error?
Well,
margin.
You have to remember the amount. We generally very, 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 very rarely revise grain stocks.
Right.
You know, be so, you know, the CV, what we call a CV, it's a coefficients percent, runs on the survey side is in the neighborhood of about 1% at the U.S. level.
Okay.
So, you know, so there's a little bit of variation, but, you know, it's not huge.
And why is it so small?
Oh, well, first off, because if you think about stocks, I mean, the range of possible, when you think in terms of statistics, the range of possible values when someone has stocks, I mean, it doesn't go, this is on farm. I mean, we don't go to, you know, hundreds of millions of bushels on farm. I mean, the range is fairly small, running from, you know, say, you know, 10,000 bushels, you know, the old smaller bins, you know, up to 100 to 200 to 300,000 bushels on farm, you know. So, I mean, the range of value, so the variation is very small when it comes in terms of statistical variability.
Yeah, so even if somebody's off, not that many somebody's are
exactly,
off.
Right, right, exactly,
okay.
Right,
right. All right.
True.
Anything you want to make sure we know before we let you go?
No, I just appreciate the opportunity, always, Todd, when you guys give me a buzz and want me to be part of your program. I like chatting with folks and trying to spread the word that NASA's here. We hope to provide a service to the producers out there as information that's digested to make for more efficient markets, and that's what I'm hoping for.
Okay, Joe. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Joe
Bye-bye.
Persaki, who is with the Field Crops Division at USDA NASS, joining us here on this Tuesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report. On the phone line waiting very patiently, Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois, to take up the agricultural energy markets. Thanks so much for being with us, Harry. We do appreciate that.
Well, sure,
that.
Todd.
Okay, so what should we take up for the afternoon in the agricultural energies? You want to start in the Middle East?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of activity in the Middle East. You know, we've had a lot of news stories out of Iran talking that they're maybe in the future going to try to attempt to block one of the major waterways over there called the Straits of Hormuz. And a lot of the world's oil supply from the Middle East comes through that strait. Of course, Iran saying they're going to try to block it. The United States and some other countries are saying, no, we're going to stop you from doing that. But that makes a lot of turmoil in the world oil markets. Of course, you've always had for many months now the European economic situation that has continued to be somewhat of a drag on the markets. However, the energy markets seem to be shrugging that off here recently. Of course, the stock market's been coming around quite well. The Dow trading to new monthly highs here in January, and now in February we've taken out the January highs. And so energy prices have been quite strong, especially in the products, meaning in gasoline and diesel fuel. In fact, diesel fuel today traded in the lead month to its highest level that it's had since last May. So diesel fuel prices coming on strong. Several reasons for that. Europe is very cold. In fact, some record low temperatures over in Europe. The economy, the over-the-road trucking industry, in many cases, is coming on also as it has been. Seasonal tendencies suggest diesel fuel prices. When I've been on your program before, we've talked about the seasonality of the market bottoming in Thanksgiving to Valentine's Day, and then rallying out into spring and summer. This is probably part of that pattern that's occurring right now.
And crude oil in the April contract went to a high so far that I see at $99.53 a barrel, not too far off $100.
That's right, but the big sparks have been in the diesel fuel. The,
okay.
The crude oil really peaked out here in the past month or two, and it's just kind of sat there while the diesel fuel's been going up.
Is diesel big enough to lead a market higher?
For the time being, it sure is, yeah. And the products tend to rally out into spring and summer, and so that's why we've talked before about producers getting some locked in. The window of opportunity is now nearly closed. They can still get some locked in, but they're just not going to get the prices that they're able to get back in December and January.
Harry, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with me. I'll be back in just 2 minutes.
It's National Frozen Yogurt Day. It's also St. Dorothy's Day, patron of brewers, gardeners, and florists. On this day in agricultural history in 1617, Prospero Alpini died, an Italian physician and botanist. He is said to have introduced coffee and bananas to Europe and to have been the first to artificially fertilize date palms. In 1864, Frederick Tudor died, an American businessman who, long before the availability of electric refrigerators, created an export trade in block ice, harvested from frozen fresh water ponds in New England during winter, and shipped to India, Europe, and the Caribbean in insulated cargo holds and stored in insulated warehouses. In 1685, Charles II, King of England, died. Tea was introduced to England during his reign. As a way of trying to make tea popular, King Charles issued a proclamation suppressing coffee houses in December of 1675. The public response was so negative that he had to revoke it the following month. And in 1796, John Stevens Henslow was born, a British clergyman and botanist. He was a mentor of Charles Darwin. To help get farmers to apply scientific methods, he gave lectures on the fermentation of manure. He also showed Irish farmers how to get starch from rotten potatoes during the potato famine of 1845 and 1846. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I just checked in to make sure how many tickets were left for our all-day Ag Outlook. Well, 40 yesterday, but just 10 as just a couple of minutes ago. So if you haven't called in, better get in now at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300 for tickets to our all-day Ag Outlook meeting.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don. How are you today?
I'm good.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest, please.
Well, as we have talked here over the last week or so, it really has not been that bad of a weather pattern. January kind of ended in a whimper. But February is looking a little bit colder, although the short term isn't bringing us any significant precipitation, certainly. Do be ready for some colder temperatures to move in. We're going to see some cold air come out of south central Canada, the Great Lakes, and into the Corn Belt Midwest as we get into the weekend. So do be ready for some colder temperatures this weekend, but any snowfall is generally going to be a very light variety.
And then turn your attention to South America. Give me an update on crops there, please.
Well, as we go south, the weather pattern has been a little bit better, especially Brazil and some portions of central and northern Argentina to pick up some rain. And that trend continues. The weather pattern a little bit more active down there, a little bit more moist. Temperatures, at least for Brazil and a good chunk of Argentina, actually going to be a little bit below normal.
Turn your attention then to other parts of the world. Can you talk about the cold that has made its way through Ukraine, Russia, how deep that cold has been and what kind of damage might have been done to the Northern Hemisphere winter wheat crops there?
Well, it's hard to at this moment in time, talk about any damage other than to tell you that this is one of the biggest cold outbreaks in Eastern Europe they've had in a while, and it's going to be reaching its peak over the course of the next 5 or 6 days with, as you mentioned, the Ukraine and central and western areas of Russia. The cold core air is going to drift a little bit east, giving some relief to Western Europe, but still keeping Russia, parts of the Ukraine, into the deep freeze. And these are cold enough temperatures that there very well could be some damage. There's also going to be some snow with this, not a lot. But there is going to be prolonged cold and much below normal temperature over central and eastern Europe at least through the next 10 days.
Hey, Don, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon. Hi, Don. How are you today?
Support for Stock and Commodity Reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.